All right, let's take that classic rave air horn and make it belong inside a rolling amen like it got triggered off some slightly busted hardware at 3 a.m. printed to tape, pitched wrong, and shouted by a deranged MC who's having the time of their life. This is advanced sound design, but the goal is simple: humanize and darken the horn so it feels performed, not pasted. We're going to do micro timing, pitch instability, velocity style behavior, grime, controlled space, and then we're going to resample so the movement becomes real audio we can chop and reuse. All stock devices in Ableton Live 12. First, set the context so you're not designing in a vacuum. Put your project tempo somewhere in the 164 to 174 range. I'll sit at 170. Drop a classic amen loop on an audio track as your reference. Warp it in beats mode, transients on, and set preserve to 1/16 if you want it tighter or 1/8 if you want a little smear. Then add a basic rolling bass, even if it's a placeholder, because the horn has to live with the break and the sub. A horn that sounds massive solo can turn cheap and flat the second the amen and bass arrive. Now load your air horn sample onto an audio track. In the clip, turn warp on and switch the warp mode to Complex Pro. That's going to behave better when we start doing pitch moves and that weird formantish hardware got confused vibe. Set the start marker tightly, right before the transient. Zoom in and be picky. Then add a tiny fade in, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, just to kill clicks without softening the hit. Here's a mindset shift that matters in drum and bass. Treat the horn like it's snare adjacent, not a lead. If it shares that 2 to 5k transient presence zone, it needs deliberate placement, the same way you'd treat a loud snare layer or a shout. If your horn lands on the snare, either you make it part of that moment on purpose, or you tuck it behind with timing and sidechain so the snare stays king. Next, we're going to build a two-layer horn, one layer for transient and presence, one layer for dark body and grime. Duplicate the horn tracks so you have horn A and horn B. Horn A is your presence layer. This is the part that reads through the amen without turning into a harsh top-end weapon. Put EQ 8 first. High-pass it around 180 to 250 Hz with a steep slope. We do not need horn low-end in drum and bass. The sub owns that. Then add a small presence bump, maybe plus 2 to 4 dB, somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5k, medium Q. If it gets spitty, do a narrow cut around 6 to 8k. After EQ, add drum bus. Drive somewhere around 5 to 15%, crunch 10 to 25, and push transients up, like plus 5 to plus 15. Keep boom off. Then a saturator set to analog clip. Drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. The goal is a horn crack that still speaks when the break is loud. Horn B is the body layer. This is where the 90s darkness lives, degraded, filtered, slightly boxed, and blued into a room. Start with redux. Bit reduction around 10 to 14, and sample rate somewhere between 6 and 12k. Lower sample rate gets nastier fast, so you're listening for attitude, not total destruction. If it gets too spitty, try soft on. Then auto filter in low pass mode. Frequency somewhere like 1.2 to 3.5k, resonance around 0.7 to 1.2, and a little drive, 2 to 6. This is one of the main darkness controls. Add erosion, but keep it subtle. Wide noise mode, frequency 4 to 8k, amount like 0.3 to 1.2. It's not there to make it bright, it's there to make it feel like there's air, sand, and circuitry. Then hybrid reverb to blue it into a dark space. Room or plate works. Decay around 0.6 to 1.4 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so the transient stays readable. High cut between 3 and 6K. Low cut around 200 to 400. Keep the mix modest, like 8 to 18%. This is drum and bass. Long shiny reverb tails will smear the groove and make you hate your life later. Now, grouping and control. You can group the two tracks so you've got one fader, but for performance, what I really want is macro style control. The clean workflow is, on each horn track, wrap your devices into an audio effect rack, then map the key parameters to macros. At minimum, build these macro ideas, tone, mapped mostly to the auto filter frequency on the body layer, plus maybe a tiny EQ tilt on the presence layer. Grime, map to redux sample rate on the body layer and drum bus drive on the presence layer. Bite, map to drum bus transients and that presence bump amount. Bass, map to hybrid reverb mix, and a placeholder macro for pitch wobble amount, because we're about to make the horn feel unstable in a controlled way. Quick teacher note, you're building an instrument, not a chain. When you can grab one macro and the horn instantly feels like a different operator mood, you've won. All right, human timing. This is where most people mess it up by randomizing everything and calling it jungle. Jungle timing is intentional. Random is seasoning. You've got two solid approaches. Option A is Groove Pool. It's fast and musical. You can apply groove to audio clips too, but it's especially nice if you decide to put the horn into simpler later. Grab a groove. The best move is, right-click your Amen clip and extract groove. That way, the horn inherits the same swing logic as the break. Apply that groove to the horn clip. Set timing around 10-25%. If you're in MIDI, keep velocity influence low, like 0-15%, and random around 2-8%. The rule I want you to remember, in drum and bass, horns often feel best leaning late, behind the snare, not early. Option B is surgical micro-nudging with audio. Duplicate your horn hits across a 16-bar section and nudge each hit by hand. Late by about 5-18 milliseconds gives you that club drag. Early by 3-8 milliseconds gives urgency. And the key, don't repeat the same offset twice. That repetition is what makes it feel copy-pasted. Now for the secret sauce. Pitch drift and tape instability. Even one-shots in the 90s didn't replay perfectly every time. The inconsistencies came from resampling, tuning mistakes, cheap converters, and performance. If you can, put your horn into simpler for a minute. One-shot mode. In simpler, use the pitch envelope. Set amount somewhere around +0.5 to +2 semitones, and decay around 40-120 milliseconds. That tiny upward yelp at the front can feel like trigger quirks and hardware weirdness. Then add subtle pitch automation. In the clip envelopes, automate transposition by cents, not semitones. We're talking ±5-15 cents over the hit. Small, alive, slightly wrong. If you're keeping it as audio, do basically the same thing with clip envelopes. Choose transposition as the envelope and draw a tiny curve. Start a hair sharp, dip a touch flat, then settle close to zero. Then, if you want extra movement, add frequency shifter as micro to tune. Ring off. Fine set to a tiny value, like ±5-20, and mix 10-30%. You're not trying to hear frequency shifter. You're trying to feel instability when the horn repeats. Next, turn it into a phrase. This is where it stops beating a sound and becomes arrangement. Make 3-5 variations. Here are 5 characters that work really well in 90s-inspired drum and bass. A dry, short one with more transient and almost no tail. A darker one with lower filter and more redux. A call version that's slightly pitched up and clipped shorter. A response version pitched down with more space. And a peak version that's a touch louder, maybe a hair wider, and has a tiny bit more drive. Fast workflow. Duplicate the horn clip 4 times. For each duplicate, change your macro settings. Adjust clip transpose by small musical moves like -2, -1, +1, +3 semitones, and also alter the timing offset by a few milliseconds. Color code them, because your future self deserves kindness. Placement ideas that actually work. Put a response horn at bar 8 or 16 right after the snare, and make it late by about 10 milliseconds so it feels like the room reacting. Before a drop, automate a low-pass horn swell and increase reverb mix a bit, but don't let it wash everything. At the end of a 4-bar phrase, do horn plus a short dubby tail into silence. Now let's keep it dark without wrecking the mix. First, low-end discipline. High-pass both layers. Yes, even the body layer, somewhere around 150-300 Hz, depending on the sample. Drum and bass subs are sacred, and horns pretending they're bass is how your mix turns into soup. Second, side chain to the snare. This is the classic get-out-of-the-way move that lets the horn be loud without flattening the amen. Put a compressor on the horn group or on a horn bus. Turn on sidechain and choose the snare track, or the break track if your snare is baked in. Ratio 3:1-6:1. Attack 2-8 milliseconds so the initial transient isn't completely murdered. Release 60-140 milliseconds so it breathes with the groove. Aim for about 1-4 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. If the horn is landing exactly with the snare, the side chain is not optional. It's the difference between classic and why does my snare disappear. Quick masking check. 30 seconds, and it'll save you a lot of guessing. Put spectrum after the horn group and another spectrum after the amen. Loop a loud bar and toggle the horn on and off. If the snare presence collapses when the horn plays, don't just turn the horn down. Try reducing energy around 2.5-4K, or shorten the horn body with a choke shape, so it stops stepping on the snare's sustain. Now a few advanced darkness tricks you can sprinkle in. Pitch down and shorten is one of the nastiest moves. Try pitching the horn down 2-5 semitones and shortening the audible body. It often sounds more sinister than a long bright blast. For the metal box resonance, Use auto filter with a bit of resonance and sweep somewhere between 700 Hz and 2K. Keep it subtle. You're looking for that boxed PA horn vibe, not a cartoon filter sweep. If you want extra menace without obvious fizz, do parallel distortion. Duplicate the body layer, distort it harder with Redux and Saturator, then keep it way down, like 12 to 20 dB quieter than the main. You'll feel it more than you hear it. And stereo discipline. Keep the core mostly mono. If you want width, widen the reverb return or a high pass duplicate, not the main transient. That way the horn still punches in the center like it belongs in a brick-driven track. Now, the authenticity step. Resampling. This is where the 90s wrongness becomes real. Printing is part of the sound. Create a new audio track and set its input to resample. Solo the horn group. Record multiple takes and actually perform the horn like an instrument. Move the tone, grime, and space macros while you trigger it. Do a couple moments where you push the space as a send-throw style gesture, then pull it back. Then take the best bits, chop them into new one-shots, and replace your original horn with your printed versions.